So let's finish out with maybe some hope for the future. And you were telling me about this 52-year-old patient with ALK, and maybe we'll get there someday with squamous cell. We'll have some kind of targeted therapy comparable to that. But investigators always have these incredible patients, and this patient seems like she's one of them. And rather than go through all the details, because I know she's doing great now, I'm just kind of curious what it was like when you first met her and what it's like to see her now.
So I will tell you, I just spoke with the husband for a completely non-medical reason. I guess I've become more friends with her, and I will be very candid that even now, whenever I think about her case, I don't know about emotional, but it makes me realize how human I am in terms of managing these patients. But very briefly, I will never forget the day I saw her, because I saw her the day before Thanksgiving in 2010. And this lady had clinical evidence of spinal cord compression after having had radiation, after she was diagnosed with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. We admitted her for immediate surgery, which she went very well, but unfortunately had complications one after the other. And she was quite religious, and because it was approaching Christmas, just wanted to go home. Because she was never a smoker at that point, now this is 2010, when we barely knew about ALK, and the only thing we knew was EGFR. We had treated her with erlotinib, but then her testing came back negative, so we stopped erlotinib, and she basically went home. The one thing that had happened, and I don't know whether this is relevant, is she had developed herpetic mucositis, and therefore she had swallowing difficulties. And so while she was admitted and before the decision of hospice was made, a feeding tube had been placed. So anyway, she goes to hospice, frankly, in December of 2010, and in March of 2011, I get a call from the husband. I had shared my cell phone with her because she was so sick, and he calls me in March. And I can tell you, to this day, I've asked him 2-3 times. He is not sure why he called me in March of 2011. He just called me just to let me know that she was doing well. And to be very frank, when I first took the call, I didn't remember her, because to be very candid, I thought that she had passed away. So I said, I have this new trial that is testing for ALK in patients, and if they are positive, they are randomizing to a targeted therapy and chemotherapy. So she came to the clinic. She decided to come. She came, frankly, in a wheelchair on 2 liters of oxygen. And I can tell you, there was a lot of resistance from my staff as exactly what I was doing, because this lady was in hospice, and they thought I was subjecting her. And my only desire was, I wanted to know if her tumor was ALK positive, because there was no other way other than putting her on the trial back then to get the tumor tested. So she agreed to sign the consent form, and we sent her spinal tumor that we had resected. We sent it for ALK testing, and it came back positive. And so I called them and I said, look, it's a randomized study, so she may get randomized to chemotherapy. And I'll tell you, when I think back, I think my role was very, very tiny. I think back of the patient's strength and sort of confidence in me in some way and in the system, because I think it is amazing. I think a lot of patients would have felt, leave me alone, I'm doing okay. But she sort of came back, unfortunately had brain mets, so needed whole brain radiation, was of course randomized to chemotherapy, and then got chemotherapy for about 4 or 5 months, had some stability, but in February of 2012 had progression, and the study was a planned crossover to crizotinib. So she started on crizotinib.